Good morning. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This is episode... Well, this is actually the second episode. Second effort. At episode 587. Of course, that's funny to say because the thing that I did talk about, I decided was so atrocious it shouldn't be done publicly. If you want to listen to some of my other recordings, some of which are too, a little too risque, a little too dangerous, honestly, to be in the podcast, it's harder to get to. You have to go to Gopher Space. I'm not going to tell you how. You know, access to things that you probably shouldn't have access to should not be easy. Therefore, I make it difficult. And there it is. You can get through it, to it through the Gopher Space, quicks.us, and you can listen to some of the other audio, more dangerous, more less acceptable audio recordings there. Anyway, this is episode 587, the one that survives, and the topic that I'm going to talk about here is serenity. Because you have to understand, I am not a serene person. I find great, I have great compassion for a being called Wowbanger the Infinitely Prolonged. This is a character from Douglas Adams' works, the ones that followed the Hitchhiker's Guide to the Galaxy. I forget who I think Wowbanger was in the restaurant The End of the Universe. I'm not sure. It was in one of the books. It could have been the second or the third. But let me tell you a little bit about Wowbanger the Infinitely Prolonged. He was a guy that, due to an accident, and you really have to read that part of the book, it's right at the very beginning of either the second or the third book of The Hitchhiker. It's called a trilogy, but there's actually five of them. And five and a quarter? Maybe six? I don't know. Anyway, due to a weird experiment, he had immortality thrust on him. Now, in the universe, at least in the universe talked about the Hitchhiker's Guide, there are many immortal people, but somehow immortal people are those who are born to it. They seem to be born with mechanisms to cope with the fact that they do live forever. Because you would just have to think that, you know, it requires a different outlook on life. So much of what mankind does is based upon the time they don't have time. Immortals have all the time in the world, therefore they have a whole different perspective on many things. They will never die. So, you know, they're different. So here's Wowbanger, poor guy. We meet him when he comes and he insults Arthur Dent. Now, Wowbanger needed to have a purpose in life, so he decided that he would insult every single being, every single thing in the universe. And it was a sticky point for him, and he needed to do it in alphabetical order. So, that's what he's about. We catch him kind of early on in the process, because, of course, Arthur Philip Dent is kind of early in the alphabet. It's actually based on his first name for some reason. You know, this guy doesn't want to try to figure out what your first and last name is, because that's often different. Even though we tend to sort by last name, he sorts by first name. Anyway, just how your name comes up. So anyway, he's out there. So he comes and he finds Arthur Dent stranded. Oh, wait. You know, it must be the third book, which is So Long and Thanks for All the Fish. I think it must be out of that book that this happened, because this all happened after the Restaurant of the Universe. I seem to recall at the end is when they get stranded on prehistoric Earth, knowing that the people that were there were actually transplanted and they were actually the rejects from another planet. Which I just love Douglas Adams because of his his almost, his almost suicidal use of irony is just fun. I enjoy it beyond all belief. Anyway, so, while Banger, the infinitely prolonged, is going along doing all this, and after he makes his trip, we kind of follow him just a little bit because he's fun. Because it's fun to think about these things. You know, how on earth do you deal day after day with the whole concept of you're not going to die? You know, they go on, he gets into his ultra-modern, fantastic ship that carries this amazing computer that can do all these calculations. He knows where he's got to go next, and it's several weeks away at the highest speed he can go. And so he's like, well, what's on the local movie channel? So, you know, he goes and gets that. They said, well, it's this movie. He goes, okay, I've already watched that. And he seems to have this incredible capacity to remember everything he's always done, which is frightening, too, because he goes, oh, I've done this 39,000. You know, wake me at reel three. So he goes and stops off, and then Douglas Adams talks about Sunday afternoon and describes it as the long, dark tea time of the soul, and that this is a dangerous occupation to be talking about souls when you're an immortal. And it's talked about the fact that people who were born to be immortals have this innate way of dealing with the fact that they are immortal, but that Wowbanger, since it was thrust upon him against his will, he doesn't have that, and so he calls them a lot of serene bastards. And that's true, you know, people who seem to be at peace with themselves, you know, they got that serene look, and you know what, I am not serene. At most times, I am supremely disgruntled and dissatisfied. And this may be a Zenith trait, I don't know. It's one of my traits, so if I am a Zenith, then maybe this is part of what makes me a Zenith, or how I take a look at it. It may be autistic ADHD, because, you know, it's easy to get really frustrated. And how you deal with that, I guess, kind of defines your life. And I've found it very difficult to deal with it. I have always been accused of, because I've always said it, so people have just started believing what I say. And that's dangerous in itself, too, to believe what Jay says. Because Jay might be wrong. There is an important difference between being intelligent and being correct. You know, everybody knows and everybody says that Jay's very intelligent. But that doesn't mean I'm correct. See, people make a false assumption that that's true. You know, intelligent people are always more correct than you are. And you go, no, they're not. I have just as much capability as being wrong as anybody else does. Now, I don't tend to be, hopefully, stupidly wrong. I may be naively wrong. I have less chance of being stupidly wrong than other people do. I notice a lot of people around me are stupidly wrong. You know, just because they're not smart, they do things that are stupid. Stupid is the opposite of being smart or being intelligent. You know, I don't tend to make stupid mistakes. I would have to call my problem carelessness and thoughtlessness. Because in order to survive in this world, I've kind of shut off most of my intelligence. Because you know what? It really isn't terribly useful to me right now. It tends to get me into more trouble when I let my intelligence come out my mouth or come out my fingers. I typically regret it. So I tend to keep it kind of bottled up. Now, I guess that's where the also when I was talking before about the disconnect between, like, say, this podcast, The Life Autistic, and my other recordings, which collectively get called Quasi Indefatigable Zenilith, just because it's named after me, or named after a name that I came up with for both the website, my projection into the universe. That's what I call it. Anyway, there's a big difference between the two. This is more like this is what I would like to say to people in general. Quasi-indefatigable Zenilith is more my deeper thoughts. And it's dangerous. I've always said that I could ride the line very easily of excommunication because I'm a dangerous person. And I'll freely admit that to anybody. If I actually proceeded with what I would do, and if I didn't worry about other people and their thoughts and their concerns, I would be the kind of person that those in power would want to destroy, and I don't want to be destroyed particularly. And, people can say, well, Jay, if you do that, we'll lose everything. Well-meaning people, and often, I'm sorry, I come down to it, and they're often stupid people, because they really, they're just doing it because they think everybody should express themselves. Everybody should feel that's an avenue that's open to them. And you know what? Frankly, I think that's an obtusely stupid way to think. It's extremely naive, based on the fact that they can have no experience with it. They only think it sounds good. Humans often latch onto things that sound good, that if they would give it a little bit of thought, and they would say, "Wait, that's a bad idea," Part of what made Hitler Hitler was the fact that he went ahead and just proceeded with what he thought. And he knew, and he was smart enough to know how to manipulate people. And it was easy, and he did it. And so a lot of torture, a lot of pain, a lot of everything bad came out of that. And I just have to be the kind of person that says no. And I'm sorry, I'm the kind of person that also says that it's not anybody else's responsibility to stop me. It's my responsibility to stop me when I think I'm treading on ground that bothers people. So I don't. But quasi-indefatigable Zenilith is really kind of an outlet for the fact that I have to, that I have to keep my mouth shut. Or that I have to keep my mouth busy on trivial, trifling stuff that's really quite pointless. See, people would say, "Oh, Jay just talks about little stuff. He's funny. He talks about this. He talks about that." But I think I only do that, and I tend to babble only to stop myself from really thinking or going into dangerous territory. I did a recording on the LDS Church and what I perceive to be some of its more basic problems on a recording. And I already knew when I started that it was going to be dangerous and had the potential to destroy me or to get some of the things I really want. I really do want to get back to God. That it was going to make my travel there, or my getting through life here. I could be excommunicated. I could have my temple recommend taken away. I could have my priesthood stripped away. And the fact that I wouldn't have these things is problematic. So I have to censor myself. Now I didn't on the quasi-indefatigable Zenilith recording. You'll have to go there. I don't make it easy. is for the simple reason that, hey, if I'm doing dangerous things, I'd just as soon not make it real simple to get there. Back to the topic of serenity, which I rarely find, you know. I would really like to be a little more like Gandhi, you know. I think he found some simple truths that he put into practice. I've found some simple truths, but they tend to go so much against what the world wants that I tend to be, I can't but think that I'm dangerous to the powers that be. And that if I were to say what I was thinking, if I were to reveal what I found, it has the potential of being destructive to my family. It would have, you know, success in this world is not only fleeting, but if you can hang on to it, it's often destructive, you know, to everybody around it. Notice little starry-eyed kids. Not that they have any great intelligence. They've just gotten popular. Lindsay Lohan, Paris Hilton, anybody. And they tend to be girls in our culture. There doesn't really seem to be boys that particularly do it at that age. It's not that big of a deal. It's really become the girls. And the horrible thing that success does to them, it destroys them. So I tend to shy away from success for that reason, because I see that it's more of a morass than anything else. But the things that I'm thinking, I think in a way need to be heard, or need to be at least discussed. I think it's safer just to put the ideas out there and not really connect them to a person. Even though it would be nice to get some of the rewards of this, because I think it would allow me more time. You know, I could get a housekeeper to take care of the house issues. I could get a plumber to take care of my plumbing problems. Or I could do any number of things to give me more free time to pursue what I'd like to pursue. You know, do I think I'm going to get a radio show? I don't think so. Why? Because it would end up having to be more of a freak show, and I would be like the head freak. And I would like these ideas to be brought up seriously. You know, if I were to be a comic, for instance, which I guess I'm closest to, you know, people seem to enjoy what I do, I would have to be a comic like Bill Cosby was, just showing you almost the absurdity of life. Or doing it in such a way that it just doesn't make sense. George Carlin, those were the kind of comics that really came out and made you think, well, God, this is crazy. People laugh about yourselves. Hopefully you get very rich, powerful, or popular. And then all of a sudden, you would have lots of money, and you would be able to then hopefully you get power. Like right now, Bill Cosby, he has some influence. He can affect how people think now that he's so powerful and he's got so much money. And Now he's in a position, just from a power position, that what he says is listened to. Although there's plenty of people that still poo-poo what he says, but at least it's out there. And I'm kind of thinking that that may be what I need to do, although I have problems doing that. You know. I see, because I have a family, and I've got family obligations. I've got things to do there. And being popular would really get in the way of that. Now, if I could do it, that would be just wonderful. Anyway, I have this understanding of computers and the internet. I should really be able to pull this stuff together so that I could become popular this way. It's hard to kind of get yourself out of that thing. You know, I don't know, and I guess the Life Autistic is kind of a lead into that. I think I'd like to do something better, something more. And we're just going to have to see how that goes. I don't know if it would be sort of a talk radio thing. Ha, he's funny, he's entertaining. But to make something along the line of a point, to say, hey, you know, you could really do this. You know, ideas about freedom, ideas about all these other things that are really kind of interesting. I was talking to Lisa about many of these subjects this morning. Kind of a way. Let me try to reconstruct that for you, so that you can see how I got to this whole serenity thing, because I really don't have it. And honestly, I don't know if I'm supposed to have it, because if I had it, I wouldn't want to stretch and go after what needs to be done. And I really need to stretch and go there. Because, you know, I'm out there. I'm out there in the ether. Ask anybody. Lisa was just saying today, she said, you know, say somebody was talking about you and they said that you were so weird. And it's like, yeah, so I'm weird, yeah. And I guess it's because of how my mind works. And now I should profit off how my mind works. How things should be, how things should go. Let's try at least. You know, it's there. Why not take advantage of it? I think I slowly am. Maybe I should just start working stridently in that direction. I was writing a book, a novel, but, you know, it was like it was supposed to get me somewhere. You know, it was supposed to make things happen. Maybe I need to clamp on to this whole alien thing. We feel like aliens. People look at us like we're aliens. You know, maybe we should just revel in it, man. Enjoy. I'm weird, okay? Here it is. Woohoo! Might as well glory in it. Because here I am. Am I smarter than you are? Yes. You know, and you can say, boy, he's real cocky. And you go, well, okay, fine, go ahead. I need to have my IQ test done. So I'd probably be way up there. Marilyn Voss Savant. Got a column in a newspaper because she has a really high IQ, and she capitalized on it. I need to capitalize on it too. Well, I was going to go back and talk about what Lisa and I had talked about, or what I had talked about to Lisa. She gets upset because she can't get a word in edgewise. Because I'm always telling her what I've been thinking about, what I've been doing, and what kind of insights I've been getting. I get insights all the time. Wow. The biggest one is, you know, intelligence is worthless. Or at least it has been so far. So we're just going to have to go with it and see what happens. And I was talking about, you know, things that I've gotten. And I really do think other people are just afraid. They like sticking with the group because it's just safer there. And I've never stuck with a group because, you know what? Most of the time the group is wrong. And I'm not interested in being involved with something that at its base is just wrong. And just saying, well, I just stuck with it because everybody else was. And it's like, why would you do that? Why would you want to live your life like that? But a lot of people seem to want to. Go figure. Stupid though it may be. If you don't mind the fact that I'm drinking out of this jug while I'm going. As usual, in my car, I'm going to Clovis today. So if you think I'm working off of notes, I'm not. Because I rarely do. The first few episodes of this podcast, that was one of the things I wanted to try and do, was to work off of notes. But honestly, I really find that I don't have a whole lot of time to do that. The only time I have is when I'm driving in this car. And going between jobs that I have to do. Now, anyway, you people don't care about that. So anyway, what was I getting down? So I guess, you know, I say, boy, I'd love to get the Serenity business. You know, honestly, no, I don't want the Serenity business. I don't think being serene is very interesting, and coming with to terms with myself, I don't think helps, because I think I'm more entertaining when I'm throwing out my frustrations. You know, like, people enjoy that, I guess. You people are sick. That's all I gotta say, man. You seem to revel in my frustrations. And I was thinking, you know, it's almost like, you know, when I'm talking, when people call me with computer problems, and they say, Jay, it's doing this, and I'm formulating ideas about why it's happening in my mind, but I can't explain it to people. You know, I can say, well, let's try this, well, let's try that. And really what it gets down to is I really need to be sitting in front of it, and I just need to do it. I don't want to walk people through it because I'm somewhat embarrassed about my methodology, because it's not very, it's certainly not scientific at all. It's more of a feeling. It's kind of riding, you know, it's kind of feeling your way through a dark cave. That's kind of how I look at it. And doing it over the phone, I look like an idiot. It looks like I'm grasping at straws, and frankly I am. But I trust that I will come across the solution, because I'll start seeing clues. And people say, well, you need to be more methodical. I remember when I was at Los Alamos and I was doing the help desk, my boss got so upset at me because I wasn't being methodical about it at all. Now, everybody would say, well, Jay comes up with very unique solutions, and often they work. But methodical I am not. Now, I usually poo-poo that because I consider that monkey work. If you're just following a script, if you're following a little flow chart, ask this, and when you get that this answer, you go down, you ask this, and then based on that, on the answers to those questions, you go down further. You know, I've never been that sort of a person. I don't fit into that mold. I don't like even thinking along those lines. People say, well, Jay, you need to come up with a procedure for how this is done. I've always struggled to do that, because that's not how I work. I'm much more I'm much more of an intuitive person. I'm not a thinking person. And that's kind of weird, because most people say, oh, you're so intelligent, you must think a lot. And you go, well, I don't ferret things out that way. I'm much more intuitive. I'm much more exploratory on those things. That's why when I did my Myers-Briggs personality test, which I found very, very interesting, I'm an INFP, which means introverted, intuitive, feeling, what does P stand for? Perceiver. So I'm a very different person, you know. Most people would say that those kinds of people aren't going to be very intelligent, by and large, you know. Conservatives tend to really, you know, they tend to say, well, we're thinkers, and liberals are feelers, and, you know, I'm a feeler, but I'm not very much of a liberal. Of course, people can say that I'm more of a libertarian, and that I'm willing to try new things, and conservatives basically are mostly follow the line of the, follow a formula that'll always work, and we're all already seeing that formula start to kind of unravel. I'm not saying that we need to become like liberals, which are not liberals, they're progressives. And the progressives want to make a larger and larger government to kind of protect them. They're more of their whole mindset are people are stupid and they need to be protected a lot from themselves. And that's not good. I'm straying into politics. I need to stop that. Because we're talking about serenity. And I'm trying to get around to the point where I don't think serenity is a good idea. I don't think we should do that. Don't bother being serene. You know, if I were to do a radio show, I don't think it would be a good idea to do a call-in show. I really don't. Because I don't know what kind of format would work the best. I'm a horrible lecturer. I'm a bad lecturer, but I have this need to lecture constantly. I could be the god of the monologue because I don't stop. And I was like, shut up, Jay. It's like, no, I won't. I've got too many things. You know, I was quiet as a young person. I was quiet when I was a kid. Now it's like I finally overcame that. It's like, you can't shut me up. Anyway, so, you know, I really do think that it lends, I lend myself toward broadcasting. I just have to find the proper way to do broadcasting. Now, podcasting is pretty good. I think, you know, that's a good format. But, you know, honestly, geez, who knows? Anyway, I know that if I stop, I'll stop and I won't make another recording. But I feel like I'm coming to the end of this one. This is Jay Nemro. This is The Life Autistic. Now, whether this has to do with Venus or Asperger's or autism or ADHD or any of the things about this, you have to understand. The Life Autistic is Jay talking about his experiences and what goes through his mind, my mind. Why am I talking to third person? Go figure. Anyway, is this what makes it entertaining? I've always been amazed. Before I wrap this thing up, let me talk to you a little bit about this. I do something as a part of other people doing it. I'm not the only one that does it, surely. I do something called Techie Talk at work, and it's just kind of a broadcasting thing. I do it that way. I think other people do something that's a little more interactive. I don't. I tend to do a radio show, sort of a thing, and it's on computers, and it's about computer use at the university that I work for, and I just talk. I talk about things. I tell, you know, I give my little analogies as to why I'm doing this or that. I do all these things. And I get bigger audiences than the other people do. Now, I'm not going to fault them. I think they're actually presenting better information oftentimes than I do. You know, I don't want them to feel badly about it. I've got this thing, and it tends to work well for me. And, you know, but apparently I'm very entertaining, although I never really try to be. I don't sit there and constantly say, I need to say some funny things, because I don't, and I don't. I'm trying to get points across, and I'm heavy into analogies and telling stories, you know, because I think those really illustrate sometimes concepts that are difficult for people to understand. And I do a lot of that, and I think I want to do a podcast, or maybe the Life Autistic needs to become that podcast. Or I need to drop the Life Autistic and give it a new title and change how I do it up a little bit. So I can, anyway. But I've always thought that it might be better for me if I had somebody sitting right there beside me, listening. Not that they need to make comment very often, because I seem to recall, I did a couple of recordings. They're actually kind of the featured recordings in the Gopher space. When you go to them, they are arranged in years, and then all of a sudden there's just some recordings. There was a little bit where I was working on trying to make quasi-indefatigable Xenolith a radio show. And, I'm not sure I was really working on it, but I decided these ones were good enough that I could separate them out and do them, and it seemed to be from just a little period back in 2006. And I was doing it with Brenna, my daughter, my second daughter, third child, and I thought that was my best stuff, was when somebody else was listening to me. And it was pretty good stuff. I think my best format would probably be something along the line of what Glenn Beck does. And I listen to Glenn Beck a little. I listen to him now more than I listen to Rush Limbaugh. For some reason, I don't know, sometimes Rush really just kind of grates me. I think it's this constant, it's when he gets into sports, and he gets into that, because, I'm sorry, that just bores the heck out of me. Sometimes his politics really gets kind of old on me, because, and that's what his show is, mostly a political show. Mine would be more philosophical, you know, why do we do these things, why do we do that, why on earth do we go into Iraq in the first place, was it justified, why on earth would we want to do something like that again with Iran? That's kind of the current problem right now in January of 2008. Anyway, I did some recordings like that, so I think I feel like it's not really a foil, it's not really somebody else to talk to, but it's really to have some physical presence there to talk to get some response from. You know, I don't really need to get feedback from an audience in a real-time way, like a telephone call, because I really get frustrated with people who don't really understand what I'm talking about. And I get it all the time. Jay, I don't know where you're going. I don't. You're so off the deep end, I can't, you know, and that's how they say it. And you get more of the impression that they just don't understand what you're saying. And that's how they do it to make themselves feel better, is to say, well, you're going off the deep end. And they're going, no, I'm not going off the deep end. Because you just don't understand. So, you know, and when I'm sitting here in the car making these recordings, I almost have to, you know, I'm not sure I'm manufacturing another person that I'm talking to. Although sometimes I do. But that would be helpful. So, yeah, if any of you out there say, hey, Jay would be really great on radio, and we need to get Jay on radio, or we really want to give him a program, or we really want to advertise with him because he's getting popular. I'd really like to get popular. I'd like some of these ideas to get out. That's kind of how I'd like to do it. You know, if I'm going to be in a studio, I'd just like another person in there just to listen to me and to say, oh, yeah, no, I don't like where this is going. And then it's okay because I'm not bad at debating. I tend to dominate those debates. But it's okay to debate, but I don't want to, you know, I'm not interested in giving people equal time. Is that rude? Is that rude? Probably. But that presupposes that everybody has equal capability, has equal thoughts that need to be expressed, stuff like that. And the only thing the other person would be saying is, no, this is what everybody else thinks. And the show shouldn't be about what everybody else thinks. I'm not trying to come up with a majority here. I'm trying to challenge your mind. I'm trying to challenge your ability to expand. And if that's what being a Zenith is, if that's what my take on autism, Asperger's, ADHD, things like that, entails, then there it is. You know, I want people to be able to understand where I'm coming from. You know, I'm not here to have a debate, because my whole thing about debates is to crush you. I'm not here to make it fair. I'm not here to make it anything. I would be here to destroy you by just sheer being smarter than you are and having probably thought it through a little bit deeper than you have. Maybe, you know, and I'm not saying I do, because sometimes things just come off of my head and then I spend my time trying to justify it. But I'm probably better at that. You know, people do spend tons of their time just saying, well, this is the way it is because it's always been this way. And it's like, no, I don't think that's true, number one. And I don't think that necessarily makes anything right, the fact that we've always done it that way. You know, people think longevity equals truth, and I don't think it is. I think we need to look a little deeper. And I do. I try to look deeper all the time. Anyway, this is Jane Emerald. I think I've said enough on all these subjects. I could go on. Give me a little bit more, and I'll go on with it. Anyway, this is Jay Nemro. You're listening to The Life Autistic. This has been episode 587, and it's a keeper. I'm gonna hang on to it and put it on the podcast. This is Jay Nemro. Have a great day. Now I gotta find my. There's my pointer. I go through this every single time I end this thing because my pointer disappears. Stay around there. Have a nice day. No, I can't speak. Bye.